Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, Andrew.
Hey! Goldberg! I bet if that dunk was a cheeseburger, you stop it!
No, I agree. I would not be an acid physically. I have more of a podcast body.
Quack! 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 No! No!
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey everybody, let's hear it for Blood and Cheers. I'm Mike, that's Tommy.
Hello.
That's Kevin. No, Kevin's not here, but it's not really his fault. He's just on a heater in Vegas. So we may never see him again, but Tommy's shaking his head. Apparently it didn't go well. Tommy and Kevin were in Vegas this weekend. How did you guys do?
Well, the important thing is that we survived.
Okay. Let's leave it at that. I believe Kevin's on a flight right now, so that is why he is not here, but Tommy has made it back. He has survived. He has watched episode 9 of Mighty Ducks Game Changer Season 2, Summer Breezers. Your initial reactions, Tommy?
So my initial, well, I guess my reaction about 10 minutes after watching the episode is that we're going to look back on this episode very fondly, I think. Mm. Not only after the finale next week, but also I think over the next year and then hopefully years to come. I think it's going to be one of those episodes that people might really remember. And it, some of it, yeah, a little cheesy, a little corny, you know, some of the stuff. But I think that this was one of my favorite episodes. I'm trying to figure out exactly why. Because there was some stuff that I was cringing at. But I think this is going to be one of the more well-received episodes down the line. I've tried not to be on the Discord too much today because I didn't get to watch the episode when it first came out. I'm curious, what were your initial thoughts?
Yeah, I felt a similar way. Like, there was definitely some issues that can and, you know, have been brought up and we will bring up with the episode. But for, like, you know, it hits you right in the feels and, like, you sort of forgive. Like, there's some glaring issues with, like, the championship game and all that kind of stuff. But the message and everything coming together and, like, how they sort of set it up, like, I ended being very satisfied, even though, like, I could go through and nitpick all these things, kind of to your point. Like, I'm not sure why I liked it so much, but I did. So, similar reaction for me as well there. So, do you want to start at the end? Should we just get the reveal out of the way, or do you want to build up to that?
I think we want to build up to it, but I do think that, and we can mention, of course, there's spoilers in all these episodes.
Right.
Love the ending. Love Coach T in there. Campfire, or not, I guess, whatever, campfire scene, et cetera. I really liked a lot of different parts in this episode. And it's interesting, like halfway through, it's like, what else are they going to be doing this episode? Because they've kind of had their resolution. And so, but yeah, like, what do you think about the ending? Just real quick, we'll get into it more at the end of the episode, especially what we think season or episode 10 might be.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was going to be somebody else, to be honest. And we could talk more about that in a little bit. But yeah, I thought it was great. A very Cobra Kai-esque thing to do to sort of like bring this villain in the back that everybody knows right at the end. So good for them. But yeah, we'll get to it and have a fuller discussion in a few minutes here. Let's go back to the beginning, because I thought the beginning was very funny there. The fight at the banquet, the championship banquet, which looked kind of cheap, you know, folding tables and like the break room or something like that. But what did you just make of how that all played out?
Yeah, banquet, loose definition of the word banquet. None of the kids really didn't want to be there. And I guess that's a culmination of kind of everything that's come in with this, you know, Dominate versus Mighty Ducks rivalry. No one's clapping after anything that's being said, just kind of awkward. You know, was the rest of the support staff even there?
No, I think it was Cole, Alex, and Marnie, and then the kids. Yeah. So
I got some issues with that. It didn't get like because Cole later says like, oh, banquet's like it's my favorite night.
Right.
It certainly did not look enjoyable. Talked about having steaks, which is cool. And was it supposed to be the day before the big game though?
Yeah, I believe it was supposed to be like the night before they had, you know, the big game.
Yeah, and I mean, I hope the big game is like later in the day, because if you have like a huge banquet meal, like right before, you know, you could argue what could be maybe the biggest game of your life so far. I'm not sure how folks would do. I did really like kind of the, you know, pushing and shoving, a couple of rolls getting thrown. But I like the them getting in a fight and a lot of the words that were exchanged. So I did like that, and it was funny.
Yeah, I thought the back and forth and like the jokes and the words and you know about the toner and all that kind of stuff from Coob and Lawrence was good. So I enjoyed that. You get Alex being an adult and then Cole being like, "No, we're gonna settle this on the ice." So I was like, "Okay, Cole." And then you know, Gertie had a good line, and then you get to Sophie's speech here, which really, you know, changes the course of the camp, the course of Mighty Ducks history. This speech, was it as good as it should have been to like change everyone's minds in like, you know, a minute?
Yeah. I don't know if that would have inspired me to drop all my animosity toward that other team. But really it's like, I guess the whole thing was like Evan and Jace and that's the rivalry there. And if they're cool, then really everyone else should be cool. Right. Like why would Paul, you know, hate, you know, Gertie or you know, any of the Ducks really. So I thought it was good. And then like Coob really had a lot of fire. Like he was going to bat for all of his teammates. So I appreciated that, but I don't know that, the 60-second speech ends the animosity. And I guess they've tried to establish that Evan and Sophie's break was clean. Evan's not harboring feelings for her still. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. The Evan and Sophie thing seems like it's done. I thought the speech was good. Like it was a little weird how they all turned around, but that's a good point between Evan and Jace with, you know, them being the leaders and that kind of stuff. It seemed fast, but I also did like Sophie's speech and I understood to kind of, this was the first episode I understood really what the whole message was about what they were trying to do. They're like, yeah, you can play sports, you can have fun, you can try to be, you know, the best and go for it, but you don't need to necessarily lose everything there is about, you know, being a kid and stuff like that. So I think that's what the gist of Sophie's speech was, which was like, hey, like, we don't even know each other. We've been at this camp. Like, we can try to be great and also be friends at the same time. So I like the message from it. It did seem fast, but I'm willing to go with it just with the emotional aspect behind it and the way it all sort of wrapped everything up there. So
kind of jumping out of the episode for a second, I know a lot of the criticism that the show has gotten this season is we're not seeing a lot of hockey. Especially like this is supposed to be an elite hockey camp and everyone's kind of like is upset that this is an elite cop. Like all the characters are upset. This is an elite hockey camp. And people are like, well, what would you think it was? You know, I guess they kind of, you know, been kind of confused about some of the motivations or especially like Alex's character. So I think this was good. And also like a reminder to all the fans, like, look, this, you know, we were watching this because we love Mighty Ducks, but again, this is its own thing, its own entity, and you don't have to love it. You know, but I think bashing on it because, there's not enough hockey or there's not enough cameos or things like that, really, isn't fair. Cause I guess this episode really did kind of like, hey, remember, this is what this show is about. It's about kind of mocking the overly competitive world of, you know, essentially the top 5% of teenage athletes who need to be the top 1% of the top 1% to make it. So going back into the episode, unless Mike, you have anything else to add there?
No, I do not. Well said. Yeah, I think they could have done that a little better. I do get some of the criticism, and yeah, like it's a hockey camp. You expect a little more hockey, but I do get some of the criticism, but yeah, I think that was a good point to go through. So you go.
I think some of it is like, you know, Alex is, she again has this like, this romantic notion of summer camp, and they do finally get it in this episode, really. But everyone was just confused, like the first few episodes of the season. I think that's really tainted people. And we also kind of get some stuff from Cole, and I don't think Coach Cole, there wasn't enough, you know, kind of waving at it early in the season about this was my wife's favorite spot. Oh, by the way, I guess I should have mentioned that to my son at some point during his 14 years of life.
Yeah.
And you know, the whole like, never spoke to your son about the whole like him having the own goal. Like, it's been a year and you didn't like try to broach it with him once, and like you were ashamed in yourself. Why the fuck didn't you tell him that you were ashamed in yourself when he's clearly having issues that like are impacting him mentally? So I don't know. Again, they kind of look at these things in certain scenes, whatever, but it's not as, it's kind of linear as one would hope. And I think what we'll all do is we'll go back and rewatch the entire season and see like, okay, what did we miss the first time around? Mm-hmm. And so maybe there is more like foreshadowing, waving. And one thing I deliberately don't do is I don't watch, you know, the previous Leon part, because I don't like kind of essentially being spoiled of what I needed to remember for this next episode. But anywho, that's one of my critiques there. I don't even know what we were talking about.
But no, that's fine.
Back to you, Mike.
It is a great call, because I do watch the previous Leon, and it is very like spoiler. Like the previous Leon for this one was like Alex mentioning like, oh, there's a beautiful lake here. Why don't the kids all jump in? And I was like, oh, they're going to do something with this lake here. It's like, that's going to be like a key moment. So great point. Like, skip the previous Leon, skip the preview clips, all that kind of stuff.
I would say do that for any show that you watch. A huge offender of this was Game of Thrones, because there were so many characters in that. And so, I mean, they really did have to be like, hey, remember this guy from 3.5 seasons ago who had one line? Well, we're bringing him back, and you need to remember that one line. So I would recommend just don't look at the previous Leon. Just make sure you're actively watching. Put the phone away, you know. Don't be drunk like Kevin, and just, you know, watch it, enjoy it, and remember what we're watching too. This is there's a theme to this, and the theme is not, hey, everyone, let's try to get as many cameos as possible.
Yeah. So if we go back to the episode as we sort of linearly go through it now, you get to the championship game. The coaches are on the ice, and they don't realize the team is not in the locker room. Like,
big problem with that.
Yeah, that was like the biggest issue I had for me. Like, you don't even realize your kids didn't show up to the rink. Like, what are you doing?
Is Coach Cole not the guy who's like giving a pregame speech in the locker room? He's not like, hey, you know, everyone here, 2.5 hours before the game starts, we'll have like a pregame skate, and then we'll go in. You know, we'll have a quick, you know, shake or something like that. We'll go over our game plan. And you know, I want everyone to, you know, 20 minutes of silent time in the locker room, you know, get switched on. It's like, you just showed up, and it's like, well, I hope all those children showed up on time. Again, 22 minute episode. You can't have like an elaborate them like sneaking out or whatever. It's very strange. You could have maybe just had them like, Coach Cole walks into the locker room, like clapping his hands, like, okay, guys, you know, hour to game time. It's like, are we like, where is everyone? You know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
same thing with Alex.
Yeah, that is like kind of the frustrating part with the season. Like, it would be so easy if they both went into the locker room, didn't see anybody, you know, came out of the locker room, saw each other, had that conversation. Like there's like little things that they could have done better for sure. Just in general, what were your thoughts on them like just abandoning the championship game from both a like plot standpoint and from like these characters' standpoint of, you know, being at this camp for however long and making it to this point and abandoning it?
I'm okay with it. It is kind of like guy like AJ though, isn't he going to be like, hey, I want to play in front of these scouts. Am I still going to get to play? You know, kind of thing. So why? I don't know. It seems like tough to get that much buy-in, but at the same time, it's like they're kids. Kids want to have fun. And it's like, yeah, like let's go jump in the lake instead of playing in this game. Like who cares? So I don't know. I guess I'm okay with it. What I'm not okay with is just like the whole coachish not knowing like that their team isn't there. And Marnie being the only one who's like, I checked all over camp. It's like, what were you, why were you even doing that? You know, anywho.
Yeah. For me, first of all, like this is supposed to be fun. And like the championship, if the whole message is like, get back to the fun, the championship is the most fun part. So that was kind of my issue. But I do understand when Alex went to the lake, I think it was Sophie or someone said, we're not playing in your game. And like, I think that was the key point there where like, this was a FU to Cole and Alex. So I kind of accepted it from that standpoint. That being said, if I was these kids' parents and I was paying for this camp, I would be pissed if they didn't, you know, go to the game and try to do the thing. So,
yeah. And you'd also be like, you think one of the parents would text their kids like, hey, how'd that championship game go? Should we drive down to Anaheim to watch you in this summer showcase or playing against Team Canada, or should we not?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. And like same thing with the scouts. It's like, you think, I don't know, again, suspend your belief and all that stuff, or suspend your disbelief. And just like it for what it is. Cause there's a lot of stuff that's likable, not only about this episode, but about the series, but a couple of, smoothing, you know, one liners in there could help there. And, you know, just a line earlier on in the season. It's like, hey, you know, this is important for us to do this away from your parents, away from the pressure of your parents. And then just have a one liner. It's like, except for you, Mauro, you know, like your mommy's here. Like, give us a line like that so we can not spend 3 minutes, bashing this, this kind of weird, like, kind of 180 turn.
Yeah. Yeah. So we go, Evan, you know, sends the text, you're right, you can't win summer. They're all having fun at the lake. And, you know, we get some good Marnie and Toby stuff. We get Gertie and Sam. We get Nick and Maya. What was your, like, I guess, highlight from those beach scenes?
I'd say, well, I've got a highlight, but first, low light.
Okay.
Is, so, like, who was paying for all these, like, water guns, things like that, and all these inflatables? Like, whose Amex did they take to go buy all this shit? Unless, like, again, you could have done something where, like, Alex has a line earlier on. It's like, oh, like, it's so cramped with this RV because you have all these goddamn floaties in the back or whatever, all these toys that we think we're going to be playing with, you know, something like that. And so, like, again, it was fun. Honestly, the highlight for me is Cole showing up and then having the beach ball. It's like Wolf Stanson vibes, like very deliberate.
Yeah,
I'm just like, oh, he's gonna pop that ball, and then like, or he's gonna like pop it up and like, let's have fun, and jumps into it. So that was the highlight to me. But I did like the relationships. I guess I like the relationships forming. Some of it was cringy.
Agreed. Yeah. The beach ball was good. And the fact that he didn't pop it and, you know, flip the script was a nice touch. I obviously Marnie and Toby were funny. Nick and Maya, I'm going to give us credit for that. That's something like we sort of noticed early on. So good job by us for breaking that down. I do think
real quick. Sorry. Okay. So Nick and Maya, Nick says like, oh, and even in 30 years, he says like, when I'm married to Alex,
Alice, I think he was just making a joke. Like,
okay. Cause I was like, hold on. Does he have a huge crush on Alex? And have we forgotten about this? Did they gloss over this? And does Evan know, you know? Okay. So
yeah.
All right. Yeah. Continue. But yeah, that was kind of like, you know, we called it, and I wonder if like Nick will get that kiss in episode 10 or something.
Yeah, that was gonna be my question. First of all, credit for the closed captioning. I watch them with closed captioning being on, so I can get the exact quotes. So that's how I got the Alice part. But yeah, that was gonna be my question. It certainly seems like this summer showcase win is and or loss is going to end with like a kiss between Nick and Maya. Do you agree? Or do you think like it's just sort of a thing that they threw in there?
I don't know if it ends with it, but I think there's a kiss in there. But like, okay. Even if it's just like she kisses him on the cheek and it's like, you know, maybe I'll like you again in a couple weeks or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It doesn't have to be like a, you know, hardcore Connie Gee D1 one. I am interested to see how Paul plays into this as Maya jumps to Paul now from the banquet. And then obviously...
Now, I guess Sophie, not a very good friend, doesn't even know that Maya's dating Paul. So doesn't even know his name.
That's true. Well, I'm assuming Maya... I think the idea was Maya met Paul and like talked to him after the banquet. And gotcha. Now they're together. Okay. So then, yeah, it all builds up. First of all, North Dakota hockey shirt is back in the, what is it, campfire scene. But it all builds up really before then to the Cole and Jace moment. You know, they go off on the walk. They have the big talk. Did that live up to what it needed to be for you? Like, was that, you know, the turning point it needed to be?
Yes and no. Like, I thought Josh Duhamel was actually really good in those shots in that scene. And Jace was good too. I'm curious about the tears. You know, we've already published our Jace episode, so we didn't get to ask him about it. Maybe another, we'll talk to him again, I'm sure, down the line. So yes and no, like him being like, I was ashamed. And then like, that's kind of like, you see like Jace being like, oh, you know, crushed. But like I said earlier, it's like, come on, like Cole, like, I don't mean this to sound like super flippant, like your wife's been dead for 10 years and you haven't been able to talk to your son like ever. And you went a year without like kind of addressing clearly the worst moment of his life. And you've mm-hmm. acknowledged that he was like really struggling. I don't know. Maybe they should have made Josh Duhamel's character a raging alcoholic or something. And that would explain all these like memory lapses he has. And maybe we'll do that in episode 10.
Yeah.
Like a whiskey bottle will fall out and then we'll get a Bombay, another mention about that. And he's got community service for season 3. Anywho,
nice.
Some yes, some no. I'm going to say overall, barely yes.
Mm.
Kind of gets it across the finish line because it's clear that I guess it helps Jace get over his fear of shooting. I think what they should have done is, you know, Jace is kind of going for the cans. He just hits a cannon on nowhere. There was right. no like him. Inner monologue, you know, that you hear about, like, you know, his dad saying, you know, I was ashamed of myself, not of you, like, you know, love you, whatever. Like, where was that? This is very seemingly random. One other thing I did like, and because I gave, I don't know if it was last episode or two episodes ago, where it was clear that, like, none of the kids, like, were sweating whatsoever mm-hmm. at the end of this game. Both Coach Cole and Jace had like clear like water around their neck and everything, like they had just jumped in the water and they were like drying off, so a good costume and set and makeup and all that stuff, so I will give them credit for that. But yeah, what do you think, Mike? Seems like you were not as big a fan. Well, and I'm not saying like, oh, this is a great scene. It's like, if it's like, if I can only give it good or bad, I'm gonna give it barely good. Mm-hmm. But Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was really well acted. I felt for Cole, I felt for Jace, but like as I took a step back, like yeah, I was kind of like the reasons behind it, like the writing behind it was kind of, you know, nonsensical with like, oh yeah, I was ashamed. Like you were ashamed that you didn't get your son to where he needed to be to so he scored a goal on his own net, and like I like that all got convoluted to me, but I did, like I said at the beginning, it did sort of hit me in the feels, like the father son, like sort of come to Jesus. This is your, like, we need to talk about your mom and all this kind of stuff. Like that worked for me despite, again, the flaws, the obvious flaws that there were there. So I think overall, yeah, I would, if we're doing a good, bad scale, which, one of our friends is a very, big proponent of, either good or bad on everything, I'm giving it a good as well. So yeah, I thought it was well done, and maybe the actors, maybe with two different actors, who knows? But yeah, I'm in on it. I'm in on Cole and Jace and all that kind of stuff. The shot, yeah, it was kind of weird that he was just shooting and then all of a sudden he hit it. I did like the little twist there where, you know, the kids were in the crowd and they were cheering for him. So that was good. But if we back up a bit, we obviously get the campfire scene, which really is, you know, everybody coming together, Lawrence and Fries, aka Cody, and you get Coob singing. Just your highlights there of the campfire scene.
I think a highlight was probably AJ coming in, like the whole like Coob AJ thing, AJ like slamming the marshmallows onto the onto this stick or whatever. And then AJ being a good singer himself, same thing with Cody. I'm not going to call him by his nickname. but I'm not going to pretend that I know what 13 to 15 year olds are listening to, but every single kid at that camp knows every word and like when to sing Landslide by Fleetwood Mac, a song that came out, what, 40 years ago?
Great point.
It's like, and this is not We Are the Champions where it's like, okay, yeah, we got it. This is like, why?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to tell me that like Evan knows this fucking song about, you know, this like super emotional song, you know? So like, I'm sorry. It's just, I just don't understand that. And so it was funny to me. Also some obvious lip syncing, which, you know, you gotta do. It's a great song. Don't get me wrong, but that's what you're going with. Like, did we have anything that was like pointing to this moment, or do we think like, oh, it's just like people change and maybe that's the song? Nothing like
that is, you know, I wanted to be like, I'm a sucker for singing, and obviously Coob initially not wanting to sing when we all know he's like an incredible singer was kind of funny. And then Lawrence coming in was great. Like, again, I was sort of a sucker for it, but that is a great point about the song that I didn't think about until you brought it up. Like, these kids would not know that song, or they wouldn't.
I mean, I don't know that song.
Yeah.
Like, I know, like, the tune and, like, something Landslide and, like, children, you know, changing. I don't know. But there was no, again, no teasing to it or whatever, or, like, having Nick say, like a Stevie Nicks joke earlier in the season or even earlier in the episode. It's just, I mean, is it just to showcase Luke Islam's amazing singing talent? Maybe. Am I okay with that? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I probably would have, but I guess at the same time, you know, I guess think back to D, you know, end of D1, are there people saying like, why is Averman seeing, you know, We Are the Champions by Queen? He doesn't know what Queen is, blah, blah, blah. Like, why is he picking a song that came out, you know, 15 years earlier? But at the same time, I imagine it's a little bit more iconic than Fleetwood Mac's Landslides.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, I'm trying to think of if there was like a, you know, at least like a 2010 song or something that like was better than that, might have been a better fit. But I don't know, maybe the Quackalites can give us a better song for that. But the twist with Lawrence coming in, I thought was good, and everyone sort of coming together like that sort of, that sort of felt like, you know, the culmination of the storyline here. And then obviously we get to the end. You have Jace obviously fixing his shot too, but we get to the end. And now you have another episode where a lot of the story points have already been resolved. So, like, how do you see this episode 10 fitting in with everything else? Do you think it's going to be sort of a standalone episode?
I think it's going to be a standalone episode in the sense that they're going to get to the big game, and we're going to get, you know, the D2 moment where they got to have an inspiring speech about Ducks Fly Together kind of thing. We're going to get some cameos. We're going to get great coach team one-liners. I think that episode 10, like, they're setting it up to really succeed. I think it needs to succeed, and we need to have some more OG references. I would love to see, you know, Conway as a scout, or Keenan as a scout, essentially. Charlie Conway or Russ Tyler, I should say. And so, yeah, I do think it's setting it up where we don't exactly know where it's going to go. And I think this is how we felt at the end of episode 6, where Alex is like on the phone to end that episode. It was like, oh, where's this going to go? We don't know what's going to happen. So I'm very excited for the last episode. And I think having that Coach T, I don't want to call it a cameo because he was a regular in the series in season 1, but Coach T's return, and even though he had one line, it's just like, I think he still killed it. It's like, I'm very excited to see him and Cole, Coach Cole interact. what is he still like the Coach T we know, or has he turned over a new leaf or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Real, I guess real quick before we go deep into Coach T, were you okay with, you know, the merge of the roster and, you know, how that all played out? 'Cause it obviously was building towards some sort of merger. Were you okay with, you know, how it all played out in the end?
I'm okay with it, but you got to think like one of those kids who's like last off the bench on Dominate. It's like, well, fuck, I'm never going to play right now. So that's going to be an interesting part. I mean, but again, you know, they're just like, hey, it's not so important that you play all the time. But some of the kids are going to be like, I want to impress the scouts, like Evan, you'd think. But I think this episode, you know, reminded me of, you know, the end of season one where they're like, hey, we'll forfeit the championship game, you know, because our health is more important and everything like that. And then you have like a good resolution. And it's not like the trope of them, like the underdogs winning the championship, et cetera. And so maybe we have something else like that. But I think they've adequately set up, not adequately, that makes it sound negative. They've set up this last episode to be pretty meaningful, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm conflicted because, like I said, I do get the whole, like, not wanting to play because this is Alex and Cole's, like, rivalry and, like, fuck you, we don't want to be a part of it. But it would have been nice to have a championship game and then have, you know, something happen in that game where whoever wins, you know, Mighty Ducks win and Fry says, oh, I'm going to give my spot to AJ. And then they all, like, have a Rudy moment where they give the jerseys to some of the kids on the other team. They're like, oh, we'll merge it all. That's how I was feeling it was going to go. But, yeah, I mean, it was fine.
I like the overall direction of this episode where they're just like, you know, we're not playing your adults game. This is for kids. And we're going to do kids stuff, et cetera. So I like that, but yeah, I think that's something we envisioned. It's like, there's going to be some way for like Jason Evan to both be on the duck. So how are we going to do this? But this works. I think the question is what jerseys are they wearing? I don't know. I guess, could you do something where it's like they're wearing Dominate and Mighty Ducks jerseys and then you got just Canada in like white with, you know, the red maple leaf or something.
Interesting.
And then they get their new jerseys between periods 2 and 3. And there is no rule against changing jerseys mid-game.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see if we get another Mighty Ducks jersey, which would be nice. But it does seem like, you know, Nick was trying to come up with the Dama Ducks or the Mighty Nates and stuff like that. So, yeah, maybe we get some sort of merger. Yeah, maybe they wear darks and Canada wears lights. But, yeah, we go to Coach T. So Marnie has the line about, oh, there's these Canadian teams who have showed up, we need a roster. At that point, I'm thinking, okay, somebody recognizable is going to be on this Canadian team. Did you have any inkling that, you know, Coach T was going to pop up at any point here?
No, but I'm really glad that he was the guy. And, you know, you see the bus and you see kind of the sneakers, like, okay, this is going to be someone we know. And then Coach T, I think that makes the most sense. Because if it was like an OG duck, it'd be like, why are they coaching Team Canada? Mm-hmm. You know? And Coach T, you know, he could be a Canadian or Canadian American or something like that. I don't remember if they went into his citizenship background in season one, as a grandparent from Canada or something. But no, I didn't see that coming. And I'd kind of forgotten about Coach T, you know, through the course of the season. Although I think we had talked about wanting to get a Coach T cameo.
Yeah, I think at the beginning we talked about that, and then we talked sort of, you know, there's no true villain, there's no Coach T obviously shows up. I saw the slicked back hair, and I was like, oh, are we going to get Stanson here? Are we going to get, like, a Stanson return? But it was Coach T again. I am all for it. I thought it was incredible. Again, a very Cobra Kai thing to do, and I think also shows the benefit of building out other characters here, because, like, we obviously didn't know who Coach T was before season one. So like they get sort of a cameo without having to reach all the way back.
You know, it would be great if Logan is on Team Canada.
Oh, that would be incredible.
And if he has like slicked back Coach T hair like him.
Oh,
like
my gosh.
Yeah. He's his little understudy. Cause we had, I know when we talked to Brady Noon, essentially between seasons, we had kind of joked that Evan should be like a little Coach T clone in season two. So maybe we'll get an aspect of that with Logan. I, you know, probably not. But that, I think that would be great. And I think just kind of lean into like Coach T being the heel would be fantastic, and have him, you know, hit on Alex and things like that, and, you know, make all kinds of like take a dig at like Gordon Bombay. I would love to see. So I think, like, honestly, like having Coach T back for episode 10 is great. And I know Kevin's not here, but I know Kevin's going to be jacked about that too.
Yeah. Now I'm going to be disappointed if Logan is not on the team, but I don't think he is, but that
sorry
would be
for
incredible.
Putting that idea, but like, again, this is not, you know, a cartoon where you can just draw characters in and like have someone else play
right.
their voice or something.
Right.
And you can't just get a replacement actor, but that's in a perfect world, that would be fun to do, but we know that there are realities that must be dealt with.
Yeah. Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I don't think it's going to happen now.
No,
but yeah, it would be incredible. All right, anything else before we go to our awards here?
Another good episode by Marnie.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend, just kind of good face acting when she sees Coop singing. That was very good. I don't know if Lauren Graham, like, already knew how to play the guitar or like just kind of learned this beginning, but I think she did a good job. Like, it's clear she was playing it, you know, with her finger movements, things like that. And if not, like, really good finger acting. But no, it was, again, I think people are going to look back on this episode fondly. And I think episode 10 is going to rise to the occasion because they've set it up to kind of be a standalone. We've resolved anything. Like, are there, like, the only like loose ends really is, or really are, the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So how will the relationships end, or not end, but how will they be dealt with in this last episode, setting up for potential season 3? I guess the whole like Cole Alex dynamic is something that still needs to be resolved. And I guess my prediction is, you know, do you have the Dominate Ducks, whatever, they beat Canada, and then someone's like, you know, we've been looking for a new Team USA.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it'd be great if it was Tibbles. But if is that like the Russ Tyler who's like, you know, I see something here I haven't seen in a long time, you know, you're looking like ducks or something, and they get Team USA on there, and then it goes to like Charlie Conway's office and he's like the director of US hockey. I don't know.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was my exact thought, like, this is gonna end with, and I was thinking Tibbles too, or a Tibbles s person saying like, welcome to the Junior Goodwill, or like, you know, we're looking for a team for the Junior Goodwill Games, and then we have you know, you go to Europe or wherever, because unless it's back in the U.S. you could say that too. Oh, it's back in the U.S. for the first time in 30 years or whatever. So yeah, I think we're building to some sort of Junior Goodwill Games. But good point on Marnie, good point on Toby. He had a good line about like, oh, my girlfriend, or should I say woman friend, for you are no mere girl. I did enjoy Cody and Coop, like, before the Lauren singing, being like, you gotta submit, like, he's gonna kill me, and all that sort of back and forth was good. So good stuff there. All right, let's take a short break, and then we will come back with our awards.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We are back. We have our awards for the second to last time this season. I guess we'll have our overall awards too that the Quacklites will vote on, but these ones are individual episodes awards, our MVP, our LVP, and our quote of the episode. Your MVP, Tommy.
This is a tough one, because I think there are some good parts that I think, like, we talked about Sophie's speech and just like, did we buy it? But it was just like, I guess, yes, we bought it, but it wasn't like a home run. And like, we talked about, oh, Josh Jumel was really good in this episode. But again, there were certain aspects of it that we didn't love. So it's tough for me to really give an MVP. I think I'm like, might give a cop out to Coob just for his singing.
Mm.
Actually, no, I'm going to change it. I'm going to give it to Lawrence, MVP, for his singing.
Nice.
And honestly, kind of that dynamic. So I guess you could give co MVPs to Coob and Lawrence there for their dynamic. So I'm going to do that. I'm giving co-MVPs. Hell, you know, it's our podcast. We can change the rules.
Exactly. Kevin was giving out co-everything last episode. Yeah, I had a few people here. I really liked Gertie, but she did not get enough screen time. And then I was between Jason and Lawrence. I ended up giving it to Lawrence because I thought he was really good in the food fight scene. I thought he was really good at the campfire, you know, like we talked about, stabbing the marshmallows on the stick and then coming in and singing. And yeah, just all that. I really liked Lawrence. I thought it was a great performance from him. So we'll make it unanimous for Lawrence there. Our LVP, this one was a tough one. Nobody really bad. I actually ended up giving it to Cole. I thought about giving Cole MVP and LVP just for his like swing of the episode. But yeah, Cole, just for really, you know, the beginning, the banquet was not very good. If this is your favorite night of the year, it should be better. And then, you know, being like, oh, I'm going to settle this on the ice and not really realizing it until it was too late. I gave it to Cole, but again, I liked, you know, how he came around. I thought he had a good scene with Jace. Kind of a cop out, but I'm giving it to Cole. Tommy, your LVP.
LVP, and there is one more part about the episode that has to do with the end credits that I want to circle back on.
Ooh.
My LVP is Sam for not putting an arm around Gertie at the campfire.
Mm. Did he not?
Come on. No, he didn't he? Did he not make a move?
I thought I saw it. But
I thought he, like, it almost looked like they cut it. Like, well, maybe we'll have to go back and look.
Yeah.
But, and if I'm wrong, you know, please accept my apology. But I don't think that we got, like, the clear, like, it's clear that they're, like, you know, building a relationship. But Sam, make a move.
That's a great point. Sam could have done so much more this episode, too. So I like that pick. Quote of the episode.
I guess I think it would have been funnier if, like, he dares Gertie to climb the tree and, like, she falls and everyone looks at her. I think if she just falls and no one acknowledges it, I think that's a lot funnier.
Yeah, that would be great. She just fell in the background. Yeah, that would be great. All right. Yeah, I do like that Sam pick. That's very good. Your quote of the episode, Tommy.
I guess it was there are a couple some good ones. Obviously, I think all the Coop Lawrence banter was good. But I'm gonna give it to Marnie for the what was it? Blood and Tears.
Yeah. So it was let's hear it for Blood and Tears at the banquet. Yeah. So that was a good one. I liked, you know, Coop saying, I've never met someone with so much face cream. And then Lawrence came back with, I have a routine and I begged you to use my toner.
That was really good.
So, yeah, that's my quote of the episode from Lawrence there. Lawrence has a couple quote of the episodes, I believe, for me. So, again, just a great performance here from Lawrence, stepping it up near the end here. And you know where to find us, thequarkdeck.com. Go there.
Hold on.
Oh. So oh, yeah, the credits. Give us the credits.
So did you see who directed this episode?
Jay Chandrasekhar.
Jay Chandrasekhar, who, of course, is known for his Broken Lizard comedy troupe,
right.
Super Troopers, Beer Fest. And I guess I didn't realize this, but he's directed a bunch of episodes of the Goldbergs. And so I'm guessing that's the connection that he got on this. And so it was just very, very interesting to see that in this kind of very key episode, him directing this. So we kind of love to hear how he got associated with this show. But yeah, it's like, I feel like Mighty Ducks Game Changers on Disney Plus and Super Troopers are very, very different, you know, forms of art.
Yeah.
Both great. But that really threw me because I had, like, episode ended and I, like, saw the name and I just turned off my phone or whatever. I was like, hold on a second. So I reopened the app on my phone. And Disney Plus available on your phone. It's great. and I was like, oh, that's cool. And so I went through a little Wikipedia rabbit hole, and he's done a ton of directing for TV, not just the Dukes of Hazzard remake, which I remember I saw it, and that's all I remember about it. But of course, you know, I love Super Troopers, and I actually like Beer Fest more. And we can talk about that another time, though.
Both classes. Yeah. So you have actually directed episode 8 and episode 9. So
didn't even see that for episode 8. I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird.
So, yeah. Yeah. It was, I did notice in episode 8. I did not catch it until episode 9. I kind of knew there was some talk in the Discord after episode 8 about it. So there you go for us, thequarkdeck.com. Go there, contact us at quarktechpod on Twitter, facebook.com/quarktechpod. Go to iTunes, give us 5 stars. Tell us your MVP, LVP, and quote of the episode. We'll be back Monday with a good interview with Maxwell Simpkins, aka Nick, and then obviously Wednesday/Thursday we will have the finale, and Kevin will be back for that. And thanks to all our producers, and remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
The quick attack.